Comment. There is a difference between belief and knowledge. Knowledge comes from direct personal experience. However, as subjective beings, our interpretations of those experiences can be difficult to quantify as absolute knowledge. Certain things are simple, though. You smell a rose, you know the smells. And that is what I call experiential knowledge. But does the person next to you smell the same smell? I perceive the color blue, yet no words in our language are available for me to describe what that color actually looks like, to say perhaps blind man. The best I can do is attempt to explain how the color blue makes me feel. These are the limitations of language, and it's often restricted in abilities to communicate. Yet these are not impediments to direct experiential knowledge. It is often fashionable among intellectuals and those in the upper echelons of our hierarchical systems of control to adhere to Kantian-esque philosophies like solecism, which dictates that nothing is truly knowable, which I feel is a lazy way of saying, I'm on top and that's a good thing, so let's not go tinkering under the hood too much. Their next step is usually to cast doubt on subjective experiential knowledge through the skillful application of sophism and its dizzying arsenal of logical fallacies. These traps are used to foment so much confusion as to curb the seeker's or questioner's desire to understand and to essentially give up. I'm trying to stay away from mass media these days, although there is much information and goodness within its many forms. It can also be a ghetto for contentious-minded people, in that it is quick to bring forward diverging viewpoints, usually in a way that doesn't fully examine the subtleties and complexities of issues in any great depth, and then puts the onus on the reader or viewer to decide for themselves. Well, that's fine, but information can be perceived through the biases and emotional needs of the subject, and as a result become breeding ground for contentious worldviews. Two people can read the same information and come away with two very different perceptions or opinions. This, I feel, is very damaging as it gives one person the opportunity to win over the other and to put forth one's arguments in a way that may allow a belief of the correctness of the most convincing worldviews to be perpetuated over a less skillfully reasoned argument. Let's face it, we like to win. It's a byproduct of our ego consciousness. But if a convincing argument is put forth at the expense of truth and knowledge, then I'm not interested. The media, which is, after all, information for profit, has much to gain financially from pitting worldviews against one another. It exploits our desire to correct injustices and perceived misperceptions, and satiates and validates our deep-seated desire to be right. For if we are proven to be right, it will be easier to convince the fearful child within us all that we are safe in the arms of a well-reasoned argument. The media has done a very effective job recently in fostering contention between what it has chosen to define as conspiracy theorists and those who accept the narratives of the corporate state. This dialectic is designed specifically to act as an energetic battery, consciously or unconsciously for profit, by those within the media. It is not unlike a perpetual motion machine, constantly feeding itself to serve its own needs. So the quest for knowledge therefore becomes sacrificed by our cultural programming, the competitive spirit, one which, unfettered by a vision for truth and justice, can only logically take us down a path to annihilation.
Please hang up and try again.